You're listening to the Spicy Dividend.
Hey, hey, it is the Spicy Dividend Podcast. Let me tell you, today will definitely be the spicier side of the Spicy Dividend Podcast. We're not talking smoked paprika here. We're talking some ghost peppers. So if you follow this podcast or my very angry and sometimes quite funny rants, you're going to love today because it is nothing but rants. So let me give you a nice warning in advance. There's going to be vulgar language. If you are not a fan of hearing it, just shut it off. Seriously, if you're not a fan of it, you're not going to like today's podcast. Today's going to get spicy. That's what I'm telling you. So without further ado, let's kick it off. And rock. All right, it all starts with a tweet. And I don't know, I got to be honest, I don't know why this pisses me off so much, because I honestly think it's just a misinterpretation, maybe from my end versus where they're coming from. Maybe they're trying to express it a different way than I am seeing it. But if you're going to throw out the definition, then throw out the definition. So here we go. It says, an unpopular bedtime story about the one track where hares beat tortoises. Current dividend yield, MasterCard, 0.5%. Exxon, 5.0%. Complete mismatch for income investors, ? Yield on cost after 10 years of fast raises versus slow raises. MasterCard, 6.4%. Exxon, 4.7%. That's the end of the tweet. Yield on cost after 10 years. MasterCard went from 0.5% to 6.4%. Exxon went from 5% to 4.7%. Okay, so if your yield on cost on something that you bought 10 years ago went from 5%, which is your starting yield essentially, 5%, to 4.7% now, 10 years later, then they had to cut the dividend, correct? Because once you purchase an equity, that's it. That's your cost. And whatever yield you get on that cost that you bought at that certain time, that's it. That's your cost. So if you went from a 5% to a 4.7%, that means the dividend had to be cut, right? If you bought it for, I'm not even going to give math examples here. So if you had $1,000 in it, you would be getting $50 a year at 5%. And now that your yield on cost of that $1,000 purchase is 4.7%, you would get $47 a year, correct? 10% would be $100. 4.7 is 47. You were getting less money. Here's the problem. ExxonMobil has doubled its dividend in 10 years. How the fuck can your yield on cost go down if the dividend got doubled? Come on. And here's the thing, 23 people liked this tweet and 2 retweeted it. You're preaching bullshit. I understand the point you're trying to get across. It's like, oh, MasterCard, even though it doesn't have a strong starting yield, over time, that yield on cost is going to rise. Like, I get the point of that. And yeah, it's like third grade dividend stuff at this point. Like, pretty much, if you're a dividend investor and assuming that you've been in the game for, I don't know, a month, you already know what yield on cost is and the basis of dividend growth investing, and that the yield on cost is what, makes dividend growth investing so amazing, even though I'd argue total return is what makes dividend growth investing so amazing. Anyway, you get my point. But don't spout heresy. Maybe I take offense to this because I'm pretty much a high yield investor type guy. And look, if I have a starting yield of, first of all, ignore the, I think another point he's trying to get across is that Exxon's price has been slashed since that 10 years ago. But if you're a dividend investor, you don't give a shit about price. You care about the dividend, and the dividend, that's all you care about, right? So let me ask you something. If you're investing in something and you're getting a 5% yield right now, you buy something at 5% yield, and in 10 years, I tell you, hey, you're going to be yielding 10% on that investment. Yeah, are you really going to be pissed? I mean, let's not pretend like compounding isn't a hell of a lot sweeter with 5% versus a 0.5% starting yield. And oh, by the way, your yield on cost is going to be 10% down the line. Oh, and it's compounded way faster than this high dividend growth rates, CAGR. Like, compound annual growth rates higher? Like, who cares? Like, you're starting at 5, it's going to grow faster right off the bat, and you're still doubling the dividend. What's the issue? And then some guy that I follow, like, retweeted his tweet saying, like, yield on cost matters. The tortoise usually beats the hare in the long run. Yeah, I'm not, like, you know, I am debating that. Like, that's highly debatable. So I actually commented back on the guy who retweeted it that I follow, because I don't follow the original poster. I'm just like, this doesn't make sense. Exxon's yield on cost would be over 10% now from 10 years ago. Stock price fluctuations have no effect on yield on cost. That's what we're talking about here. That's what he's mentioned in his subtweet. He said yield on cost matters. So we're talking about yield on cost. You know what the key word on yield, key words for yield on cost is? On cost. All right. His response: Exxon pays $3.48 a share a year, and it cost $74.25 a share a decade ago. Divide the dividend per share over share price, and you get yield on cost. No, you dumb fuck. That is current yield. There is a huge difference between current yield and yield on cost. You know what yield on cost has? On cost! In the past! And I responded back, and I think he probably just ignored it, or he muted me at this point. I'm like, the literal definition of yield on cost, and I ripped this right out of Investopedia, calculated by taking a stock's current dividend by the price initially paid for the stock. Who gives a shit what the price is? Divide the dividends per share over share price. That's current yield. No, is that even current year? It would be dividends for the year divided by share price. This is dividends per share, which also, well, I guess he's arguing that it pays $3.48 a year. Okay, that's fine. But that's current yield. Your yield on cost from Exxon 10 years ago to now went from 5 to 10%. No one's going to bitch about that. You went from high to really high. So you don't sprout bullshit. And, you know, that's kind of like an issue that I have with pure dividend growth players. It's like, everyone thinks that this method is like, your shit don't stank. There's nothing wrong with dividend growth investing. And it's like, you know, there are other ways to do it. I mean, there's so many, I brought up sports strategy. There's so many different strategies that you can utilize to be ultimately become what we all are. We're all income investors. If you're in it strictly for the dividend, then we're all income investors. If you're in it for total return, by all means, go ahead, have that dividend growth. I am not going to complain. And by the way, if you're in it for total return and you do dividend growth, then yes, dividends are irrelevant because everything is factored in the total return. I think people, whenever someone throws out dividends are, you know what, I'm going to save that for the next segment, okay? We're going to rant on that. But anyway, yield on cost. Another thing that kind of irks me the wrong way with yield on cost and like how everyone interprets it their own way and makes them want to jerk off to the dividend growth method is, look, yes, there's no argument for me that yield on cost is amazing and the compounding is amazing. That's what makes dividends amazing. Understand something. let's take his example of MasterCard. And let's say it did have a, theoretically, let's say his 0.5% 10 years ago was correct. And let's say your yield on cost on MasterCard now is like 8%. Cool. You know, it grew really fast despite having a small starting yield. Like, that was the whole point of the post, right? Like, oh, everyone just looks at current yield. You know, you have to look at the growth. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, say it did go from like a 0.5% current yield to a 6 to 7% yield on cost, right? Well, how much did you initially buy? And that's the thing that not a lot of people understand with yield on cost. It's like, hey, it's great if you bought $1,000 of MasterCard and now you're getting a higher yield on cost. But understand something. Like, that increase, that yield on cost is only for that $1,000. So unless you're dumping a shit ton of money in that initial purchase, then yield on cost, I mean, yield on cost is only relevant to one tranche that you buy. So you have to put a lot of money up front. So, you know, I make the argument, you know, for someone like me, I try to put money in my portfolio every single day. I don't buy every single day anymore, but I put money into it every day, and I encourage dollar cost averaging, right? Well, pretty much every investor encourages dollar cost averaging. But if you're a dividend growth investor, and the whole method to your madness is that the yield on cost is what makes it so amazing, then you should be a lump sum investor. You should try to gather as much capital as possible and put it down immediately. Because if you have $50,000 in a stock or $50,000 in a portfolio and you start, boom, your yield on cost down the line is going to be a hell of a lot more impressive than if you do $1,000 at this price, price increased. $1,000 at that price, price increased. $1,000 at that price, price increased. And guess what? Like, the dividend just floats with that share price. So the starting yield every single time you buy, since the company is pretty much a good established company if you're an aristocrat or king, every single time you buy, the price is probably up and the starting yield is going to be low. So your yield on cost just, yes, it's going to add up over time, but your yield on cost that's so impressive is going to be on such small amounts of money that, you know, come retirement time, say you've been doing it for 30 years and your cost, like your number one yield on cost percentage winner after 30 years is like, hey, you know, my first tranche I bought of this stock, now I'm yielding 100%. Let's say that. Well, if it's $2,000, I mean, yes, that's awesome, $2,000 a year. But at the same time, you know, you could just redeploy that money you have into higher yields and you would be getting there a hell of a lot faster. That's all I'm arguing. And when you invest in the higher yields, you don't need as much money because it's going to compound that much faster. And you know how much I love those monthly payers, because when you compound it quicker and you compound it with higher amounts, I mean, that's the formula, right? You're going to be making some buku bucks in no time. So just a little rant on yield on cost. Don't harp on yield on cost if you don't even fucking know what yield on cost means. I mean, yes, technically the starting yield is technically a yield on cost, but that's not the point. If you bought something 10 years ago, if it had a high yield and it increased its dividend, guess what? Your yield of cost went up. Okay, moving on. All right, let's talk about dividend irrelevance. I'm pretty sure I've touched on dividend irrelevance in my podcast in a prior episode. Let's go on the rant side of it. So with dividend irrelevance in terms of dividend investors, it's a lot of man yells at cloud. What do I mean by that? You read a headline or you read a title of a YouTube video and it says like dividends are irrelevant. And immediately, as a dividend investor, you're like, oh my God, dividends are not irrelevant. And you just go in this rage fit. I'm so angry. And why are you getting so butthurt? And I think, I don't understand why there's such a cognitive dissonance by people who are writing these dividend are irrelevant articles and actual dividend investors. If you're a dividend investor for in it for the dividends, you are an income investor. these people who talk about dividends being irrelevant are total return investors, in which case, yes, dividends are irrelevant for total return investors. Why is that so hard for people to comprehend? If you are a pure income player, then no shit, dividends are relevant. It blows my mind that this is like people like take offense to it. Like, really? Do you even know the concept of what they're digging at? How could you be so upset about that? I'm pissed that you're pissed about it, because people just don't, they're so closed-minded. And I think that's why that's one of the reasons I got off of YouTube. And that's one of the reasons I love doing the podcast. I know I put the podcast on YouTube, but it's just like the dividend community sometimes, it just pisses me off. Like, they're extremely, extremely closed-minded, extremely narrow-minded. You know, the fact of the matter is that a lot of investors, dividend investing, if they learned an entirely different method, I'm not talking like day trading or anything, but if they learned an entirely different method, like just be an index investor, be a growth investor, and they saw success with it, they would never, ever be a dividend investor. It's just a fact of the matter is that a large majority of the dividend community is just, this is what they know. This is what they first discovered when they were researching stocks. You know, they came across dividends and they're like, ooh, what's a dividend? It just so happened to be the first thing that they're looking at with stock market stuff. They say, ooh, what's a dividend? They're like, oh, the company's giving me a percentage of their profits. It's like, oh, I actually see the money being returned to me. And it's a cool concept. But, you know, if you learn the growth way, if you learn the index way, total market return way, then dividends are irrelevant. You wouldn't look at dividend only investors and be like, oh yeah, you know, that's fine too. No, you'd be like, oh no, growth is the way to go. No, it's just what you're accustomed to. It's what you first learn. It's pretty much, it's very rare for me to talk to open-minded finance people where it's like, you know, there is no one perfect way of doing things. I know I like to harp on my own strategy. It's income investing with a bunch of bond funds at the same time having a lot of high yielding monthly funds. And there's going to be a ton of dividend investors that disagree with me. It's okay to disagree with me. I disagree with a ton of different dividend investing strategies out there, but I'm open-minded. I know that, like, just because I like my method doesn't mean every other method is obsolete. And that goes outside obsolete. And if it's true if you go outside the dividend-only community. It's, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a total return investor. And that's probably the preferred method, to be honest. It's just some of us just like the concept of getting dividend payments, you know, living the dividend dream, you know, living off of paychecks from your dividend-paying stocks only. But the fact that people get so butthurt over a stupid quote of dividends are irrelevant. If you're a dividend investor, no shit, they're relevant, okay? You're in it for something other than total return. Only total return people can say dividends are relevant, because they are. They're just one of many factors that go into total return. So that's just one thing I don't understand. It's like, the dividend community is, I swear, sometimes it's just a little cultish. And, you know, it's especially true. I mean, maybe it's just a matter of being outnumbered because there's so many more dividend growth investors than there are any other type of dividend methods out there, dividend strategies out there, that it's just, it's cultish. And it's like, they have their ways. And it's like, no, this is how you do it. High compound annual growth rates, blue chip companies, slow starting yields that grow very fast, high CAGR, compound annual growth rate, if you don't know what that means. And, you know, there are other ways of doing it. I've seen major success doing it the way that I'm doing it. And, you know, look how much money, if you follow Joseph Carlson, I got to be honest, I haven't watched any financial YouTubers in like over 3 months. Like, I'm just like over it. I don't find it interesting anymore, to be honest. And yeah, I just moved on kind of bit. But I know, like, when I was watching Joseph Carlson, I mean, he's a dividend growth proponent, and he always shows off his gains. But, you know, a huge chunk of those gains are capital appreciation, and it's like you can just throw those down the drain because he's in it for he's in it for dividends, not total returns. And when he had like $60,000 in his account, maybe it was less, maybe it was like 55, or he had a shit ton more than I did, is what I'm trying to get at. And he showed me that like he had dividend payments coming in of like $180. I'm like, really? Like my portfolio is at like 20 to 25K less and I'm making the same, almost more than you a month. And at that point, it's like, well, I don't get it, because he's going for it. And he's like, oh, you know, the dividend growth, it's yield on cost and down the line is going to amount to a lot. But it's like, you also have to understand, if you're a believer in what the dividend growth strategy entails and what Joseph Carlson's doing, Joseph Carlson's also putting a butt ton of money in. He's minimum $2,000 a month. And, you know, a lot of us cannot invest that much right off the bat. So yes, for someone like him, it's going to work a hell of a lot more for someone, the common millennial investor who's just, you know, oh, I can put in, you know, $200 a month and we'll let it grow. And it's a hell of a lot tougher for people who are in that position, who can only put in like $2,000 a year versus $2,000 a month into their portfolios. So it's a lot harder for them to really see the good benefits of compound annual growth rates, you know, going so fast. You really won't see anything spectacular until you're a lot older. And then it's like, hey, you know, my yield on cost is like 80%, but it's like, oh, I only put in $10,000 for like 6 years. It's like some people, that's their only option. So it might not be feasible. And, you know, I hate making the argument against dividend investing, but if you do have low pockets and you know you can't put much money into the market, you can put in like $1,000 and that might be it for a year, you know, maybe dividends aren't best case scenario. Or if you're going for total return, yes, you can do dividend growth strategies, but understand that if you can only invest $1,000 a year and you don't see any dramatic increases in the foreseeable future, compounding isn't going to do much with $1,000 a year. I hate to say that, but it's just common knowledge. And especially if you're getting such low starting yields, it's going to take a long ass time. You'll probably be dead before it compounds into anything meaningful. So you might want to rethink your strategy, go total returns if you can't put that much money up front. So that is dividend irrelevance ranting. One more final rant. All right, so the final one, not very dividend related, but you could argue it's finance related, maybe more Twitter related, maybe it's just more degenerate dividends related and how pissed I get. So my main man Snarf, Spence, the world of Snarf, you may know him from YouTube or his Instagram, he retweeted a tweet, and let me read it. So it says, if you're not going to college for medicine, engineering, or law, don't go to college. Save your money. Start hustling. Okay. And the world of Snark just replied to him. He says, I don't know. Business degrees can land you a job anywhere, I think. All right. So obviously this guy is just one of those entrepreneur douchebags who's just like, oh, it's hustle, man. You don't need no the man education to get you by. You don't need no higher education. Look at all the dropouts that are successful. Start hustling. Start grinding. Save some of that money. Build your own business. Be your own boss. Who gives a shit if you have to work 100 hours a week to make 40K a year? Be your own boss. Start hustling. Don't take nothing from the man. You don't need no education unless you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer. Fuck school. I'm so cool. I can sell shit items from China and sell them to idiots on Instagram for $20 when I bought them for $2 because I'm a drop shipping expert. Hey, take my drop shipping expert course. If you want to learn more, $9.99, you click that link. It's a click funnel and I'll take you to my premium course for premium members where I show bullshit videos of other people who made $30,000 every single minute drop shipping, and it's a whole horse shit maneuver. These entrepreneurial types on Instagram and Twitter, especially around the millennial generation, oh my God, they fucking piss me off. It's like there's a difference between hustling and grinding, and then there's just an asshole. I'm sorry, if you're the type of business person that drop ships items from AliExpress that cost you 2 cents to ship after 30 days from China, and you resell them on the internet for $5 a piece to unsuspecting idiots who are getting poor quality items, you're a piece of shit. No one cares if you make $1 million in a month. You're a piece of shit. And let me tell you something. If you go to school for something other than medicine, engineering, and law, which, yeah, hey, guess what, dumbass? If you take those 3 degrees, you're going to be in a hell of a lot more debt than any other degree. But let's say you did a business degree. Well, you get to work, 40 hours and not talk to anyone in a cubicle. And you make a hell of a lot more than a lot of these stupid entrepreneurs who will drop shipping pieces of shit. God almighty, this stuff just irks me the wrong way. Like, look, there is legitimate arguments between going to college and not going to college, okay? There's certain degrees that, you could argue, look, you'll never make a good return on your investment. Because college and your education is an investment, right? But it's these stupid entrepreneurs who are like, oh, you don't fucking need that. It's like, yeah, there are certain instances where you don't need that. But if you're not going to college to be a stupid dropshifter, if you're a fucking motivational speaker where you make your money just from spouting off bullshit. Oh, hey, here's what it takes to be successful. You wake up at 6 a.m., you make an agenda, you get your workout in. It's like, oh, wow, really? What's next? Are you going to film this on TV and put it on some stupid website where you have this dumb paid studio audience that's like, hey, if you want to be successful, wake up early. And then you see that middle-aged white woman that's just like, oh, what? This whole time? All I had to do was wake up early? Oh, my fucking God. Like, this stuff pisses me off. These entrepreneurs, it's like, other people can hustle and grind. You don't have to sell bullshit. You don't have to write down bullshit. You don't have to feed bullshit. And a lot of these entrepreneurials, you see a little bit of it in the investment community where it's like people show off their portfolio amounts, and it's kind of natural. It's like if you want to show the progression, that's what you do. But some of these entrepreneurials, they're just egotistical dickheads. And it's like, oh, look at all the sales I made in a month. Sign up for my course. Ha, ha, ha. It's like I made $66,000 in sale. And it helps because I have 3 people in Taiwan doing all of my stuff. And look at me, I'm just a money manager. And they do all the work for me. And I just sit here and I take checks. That's the real passive income, right? It's like, no, you're a scumbag piece of shit. Someone with an art degree is going to contribute a lot more to humanity than you are with your fucking dropshipping items, okay? That's all I'm going to say. Like, the stuff that you promote, it's like, oh, you got to be motivated. You got to hustle. You got to grind. It's like, oh, really? Like, no one in the fucking world does that already? Wow, this whole time I was sitting on my ass for 24 hours. You tell me I got to get up out of the couch? Holy shit, this is mind-blowing stuff. You should sell this for $9.99 a month and just reiterate the same bullshit that hasn't been said 3,000 times before. You are contributing, sir, you are contributing way more to society than someone who, cures cancer. Like, what the hell's that? Yeah, they can cure cancer, but they're not going to make as much money as me shipping out Chinese AirPods. You know what I'm saying, bruh? Fuck off. That is today's podcast. Super spicy. Way more than Szechuan sauce. Way more than smoked paprika. We went right for the ghost peppers today. Hope you enjoyed it. If it was a little too vulgar for you, well, sometimes I just go on these. There's a reason it's called the Spicy Dividend Podcast. See you, ladies and gentlemen, in the next episode.